Happy Father's Day, everybody.
I am still Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary, so glad you decided to spend just a bit of your Father's Day and your Juneteenth weekend here with us. So we are taking a peek behind the music, looking at some of the songs that folks listen to see what God might be encouraging us to hear through them. Now, as we say goodbye to each other on Sundays, a number of you have had some great song suggestions for us when we do this series again later. And your suggestions got me thinking about a study I had read a few years ago. This study said that our personal music tastes lock in by the time we are 30 years old. We stop listening to new artists, we stop listening to new tracks, and we just listen to the same stuff over and over and over again. So there's a reason why your parents and your grandparents still listen to Elvis and the Beatles and Bill Haley and the Comets, why some of us are still moved by boy bands and pop singers that we loved when we were 14 years old, things like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears. It appears that for the most of us, what we listen to from 11 to 14 years old is still our most streamed songs at 20, 30, 40, 50, and so on. How terrifying is that? Our openness to new music ramps up in our teenage years, drops off in our 20s, and after our 20s, we are doomed to listen to the same three bands over and over and over again. So pick good bands, y'all. Now, in a multi-generational church such as ours, I do appreciate everyone's willingness to stretch and to try something new in this sermon series. Today's tune, taking us into the scripture, is very new. It was released on April 7th, this year. This song is 70 days old-ish. So this is going to be a good stretch for all of us in this room and joining us on the screen today. Now, in this song, the rapper NF explores his inability to find happiness. He can't find happiness. He can't find joy. He struggles with his own mental health, and he reflects that he actually finds it more odd to be happy than to be sad. He is so used to living in sadness that when he does feel happy, he's uncomfortable. He's uncomfortable with this sensation because it's so foreign to him. Sadness is his reality. Happiness is not. Now, we might get to the places in our lives where we get so stuck, maybe even destructive habits build up, that sadness feels more natural than joy. That we don't want to bother anyone for help, so we simply sit in our agony, we sit in our pain, seemingly with no way out. Anyone ever felt like that before? Here's a little bit of Happy by NF.
Dear God, please hear me out. I know it's been a couple years since I've reached out and said hello. I bet you're wondering why I keep obsessing on and stressing all the little things when I should be living life and soaking up the memory. I know I've been selfish, I have no excuse to give you, it's true. Hanging by a thread's how I live. I don't know why, but I feel more comfortable living in my agony, watching my self-esteem go up in flames, acting like I don't care what anyone else thinks, when I know truthfully that that's the furthest thing from how I feel. But I'm too proud to open up and ask you to pick me up and pull me out this hole I'm trapped in. The truth is I need help, but I just can't imagine.
So for someone who's 42 years old, who should have their musical taste locked in, I gotta confess, I like this song quite a bit. Powerful lyrics like hanging by a thread is how I live. Watching my self-esteem go up in flames. The truth is I need help, but I cannot imagine who I'd be if I was happy. Ever felt anything like that before? NF puts a problem like this. He writes about this song, "I know I deserve to feel good, but my life has been so hard for so long, I no longer feel comfortable in happiness. It's a paradox, but feeling sad makes me feel like myself more than anything else." And one writer put the song just like this. "It's like having constant resistance inside of yourself. A part of you knows the path needed to full happiness, but it will require a rebirth process. Becoming someone else, enjoying life in an entirely new way." What does Jesus intend for us? Does Jesus intend for us to be sad, to be stuck all the time? You know, we know from last week, when we're not talking about a fake Christian facade where everything is happy all the time with this fake smile pasted on. No, we know there are times for lament, there are times for to acknowledge and to work through pain and suffering with Jesus. But that also means the flip side is true. There should also times we should be joyful and happy and excited about what God's got for us next. Being all happy or all sad all the time, it is not the truth of life here with each other and with Jesus on earth. Jesus tells us very clearly what his purpose is, what Jesus' purpose for our lives. He says the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's Jesus' purpose. That's what Jesus wants for you and me, a rich and satisfying life in him. If you find yourself stuck today like NF sings about, that is not the place Jesus wants you to be. Jesus has so much more for us in community with each other to have a life that brings life and hope and joy and purpose and meaning. So how do we get there? How do we get unstuck from all the various things that we get stuck in life that falls way short of the rich and satisfying life Jesus has for us? In the words of NF, when we feel like we're hanging by a thread is how I live, watching my self-esteem go up in flames, the truth is I need help, but I can't imagine who I'd be if I'd be happy. For feeling like that, what do we do? First, we acknowledge that we have a problem. In the words of Taylor Swift, "It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me." Paul, the first century church planter, puts it like this. "I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It's sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." One more dad joke for you. Scholars and theologians call this the doo-doo passage. But really, who doesn't feel like this all the time? I know the right stuff I'm supposed to do, but I just don't do it. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. We're people that miss the mark. This is the textbook definition of sin. We miss the mark loving God fully, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. We are a broken people who need someone, something to heal us, to bring wholeness, to get us unstuck from the places of sadness and depression and despair that we find ourselves in. In the words of so many recovery groups, the first step out of the journey of stuckness is to admit that we have a problem. Your first step in your journey out of stuckness might be to invite Jesus into your life for the very first time. Paul says it really clearly just a little bit later in that chapter. "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from a life dominated by sin and death?" Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, it doesn't take magical words or a special place. Simply saying to Jesus, "I need you. I'm the problem. It's me. I invite you into my life to help get me unstuck. I want the rich and satisfying life that you want for everyone. The rebirth necessary to enjoy life in all of its messiness and beauty and imperfections and wonder begins when you invite Jesus into your life." NF knows the solution. He knows he needs to ask for help. That help begins by asking Jesus into your life. But NF and we know we also need others who've been walked this path before, who've been stuck in dark places, who've been had these feelings of sad and happiness when they get flipped, when happiness is a foreign feeling. We need each other to help pull each other out of the holes we find ourselves in. So second, we ask for help. We ask for help, and then we're going to be surprised at how many of us have been in the same place before. How many of us have been stuck before in places of sadness and despair? And with the help of each other and Jesus, we can take steps toward the rich and satisfying life Jesus wants for us. In another little letter, Paul writes these words: share each other's burdens. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. You are not that important. I love that line. No one is too important to help. There is no job too small for anybody following Jesus. Everyone can plunge a toilet and sweep a floor and run the vacuum. I actually love vacuuming. I find it very soothing and relaxing after some hard days of being with people. Turn on a podcast or some music and just vacuum, watching the lines appear in the floor. You know, we can all do something. We can all do something, help someone, and share each other's burdens. Now, the story is told about a guy walking down a street when he falls in a hole. The walls are so steep, he cannot get out. A doctor passes by, and the guy shouts up, "Hey, you, can you help me out?" The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down the hole, and moves on. Then a priest comes along, and the guy shouts up, "Father, I'm down here in this hole. Can you help me out?" The priest writes a prayer, throws it down the hole, and moves on. Then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumps in the hole. Our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." The friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out." Share each other's burdens, friends. Share each other's burdens. Jesus works through us in relationship with each other. When we ask for help, look for those who've been on the journey before, who know the way out. They can point you to the people that can help you work out the place of sadness and despair you might find yourself in. It is friends and pastors and counselors and doctors, all of us in the community we call church, to help one another take steps to grab hold of this messy life where Jesus promises us to give us a rich and satisfying one. We are not promised a life without pain and suffering and loss. We are promised a rich and satisfying journey. Now, I've been at the bedside of people near death, and they have been absolutely holy moments of them praying. Not me praying for them, but them praying for their family, their friends, their church. Grateful for the time they were given and in this place. Now, even if they should have had many more years and decades, some come to a place of gratitude for what was and hope for the future. Friends, those are absolutely holy moments where it feels like heaven and earth are just one for that moment. And it's in those moments that help me as a pastor continue to walk the road with each of you together. Now, we can help each other down the road to Jesus in ways that can be really quite unexpected by just sharing life together, share each other's burdens together. We are a people that hope from the future, knowing somehow, some way, when Jesus returns, everything sad will not only be redeemed, but somehow undone. We will see all those we've lost in Jesus again. We are a stubbornly hopeful people that gives us the strength and the fortitude to journey through the pain of life. We Christians can be really stubborn about dumb things. This, however, hoping from the future and the reality of Jesus' return, that is a good thing to be stubborn about, friends. Be stubborn about that. As our song continues, NF realizes all the things that he needs to do. He knows all the things he needs to do for a change, but he can't quite bring it about to do it yet. Here's the next piece of our song.
Yeah, been this way so long, it feels like something's off when I'm not depressed. I got some issues that I won't address. I got some baggage I ain't open yet. I got some demons I should put to rest. I got some traumas that I can't forget. I got some phone calls I've been avoiding. Some family members I don't really connect with. Some things I said I wish I would've not let slip. Some hurtful words that never should've left my lips. Some bridges burn, I'm not ready to rebuild yet. Some insecurities I haven't dealt with yet. So I'll be the first to admit that I'm a lonely soul, and the last to admit I need a hand to hold. Losing hope, headed down a dangerous road. Strange, I know, but I feel most at home when I'm living in my agony, watching my self-esteem go up in flames, acting like I don't care what anyone else thinks, when I know truthfully that that's the furthest thing from how I feel. But I'm too proud to open up and ask you and pull me out this hole I'm trapped in. The truth is I need help, but I just can't imagine who I'd be if I was happy.
As we seek to have a rich and satisfying life with Jesus in the here and now, we recognize we have a problem. We ask for help, and we learn what is ours to control. NF lists all kinds of things that he knows he needs to do, that he needs to address. He's got issues and baggage from the past that need to be addressed. He's got demons that need to be released, insecurities to be looked at. Those are all things within NF's, and those are all things within our control. We can address with counselors and doctors and the power of holy friendships. One of the hardest things to understand in life, especially for those of us who have a high degree of control and wish people would just do what we want them to do because it would just be easier, right? Life would go smoother if people just did what we wanted them to do. But we need to understand this. We control our responses. We must surrender how other people respond. It is out of our hands. We are not responsible for anyone else's responses but our own. We control our own. We have no idea how other people will respond to various things in life. You know, when people say they follow Jesus, we look for the fruit. We look for the evidence of this. So sure, you say you believe in Jesus, but show me with your actions that you do. And we look for these fruits. You might know them as the fruits of the Spirit, to see if this is really true in their life. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control, friends, self-control, regulating our own emotions and responses is evidence that we indeed are following Jesus. You know, we can make the tough phone call to apologize for words that we shouldn't have let slip. We don't control how the other person responds. We can reach out to try to rebuild a bridge burned, but there is no guarantee that the other person wants that bridge rebuilt. It's the Christian thing to do. It's the Jesus thing to do, to reach out and say, we're sorry, we messed up. There's no guarantee. There's absolutely no guarantee or promise or expectation that a relationship would be rebuilt or the other person wants that. That's the reality of friendships and relationships in this world. We must do the hard work to manage our own emotions when things go sideways, when things don't go as we expect. When someone comes at us hot and angry and upset, the easiest thing to do is to match. The easiest thing to do is come at the same level of anger and volume they are. However, if we manage our own responses, we can bring the temperature down and even bring healing around a little faster simply by controlling our own emotions. Self-control, friends, is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you read much around leadership, you run into this idea of a non-anxious presence. That wherever you are as a leader, you should maintain no anxiety as things change. As a pandemic upends everything you do in church, for example, or as staff follow other calls to other places. I love the one author and scholar who noted, a non-anxious presence is not really realistic. Can you actually ever be a person who has zero anxiety? Instead, he seeks to be the least anxious person in the room. I love that. What if in every space you were in this week, you sought to be the least anxious room? It's school, in workplaces, in our families. When we find ourselves in people and groups running emotionally hot, the goal for the Christian, the goal for the follower of Jesus, is to be the least anxious person in the room. By controlling your responses, you bring down the entire temperature of a room, can help bring about healing faster. We make the worst possible decisions when we are filled with anxiety. You will find yourself this week the leader. You're going to find yourself at some point this week in a situation wherever you might be. So help be the least anxious person in the room. Manage your own emotions through Jesus and be that least anxious presence. Now, as we seek to have this rich and satisfying life with Jesus in the here and now, we recognize we have a problem, we ask other people for help, and we learn what is ours to control. We also understand that what is out of much of our control is the future, what's around the bend. Here's the final piece of our song today.
Don't know what's around the bend. Don't know what my future is. But I can't keep on living in. Living in my agony, watching my self-esteem go up in flames, acting like I don't care what anyone else thinks, when I know truthfully that that's the furthest thing from how I feel. But I'm too proud to open up and ask you up and pull me out this hole I'm trapped in. The truth is I need help, but I just can't imagine who I'd be if I was happy.
Friends, while much of the future is out of our control, we know who controls it. We also have much work to do. As we seek that rich and satisfying life Jesus wants for us, we recognize we have a problem. We ask for help, and we learn what is ours to control. As we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion this morning, it is the perfect time to ask Jesus, what is the next step you want for me? What is the next step I need to do into the rich and satisfying life? Is it just to ask you into my life for the first time? Is it to ask Jesus into your life? Is it to make the call? Is it to make the meeting to ask others for help? Or is it to surrender my hope for how others are going to respond and to take control of my emotions? So take that next step, whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to take today, as we come to the communion table together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize that we have a problem, and you are the solution. You restore us from the inside out, along with other friends, along the journey, to bring us life that is rich and satisfying. As hard as it is, may we give up control on how other people respond and do our best to manage ourselves. We know healing for others can simply come by the way we manage ourselves. Now, as we prepare our hearts for communion, we confess that there were times this week that we messed up, that we didn't love you with our whole hearts, we didn't love our neighbors as ourselves. So in this moment of silent prayer, we confess those times we fell short, those times we sinned against you and against our neighbors. God, we give you thanks for forgiving us each and every time that we ask. May your Holy Spirit move us this week to love you more fully, and to love our neighbors, every person that we come across this week, as you would have us love them. Now we pray together in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.